Well, as I said in the introduction, last year we gave ourselves to a study of the Holy Spirit, and this year we turn our attention to Jesus. Now, of course, you already know about Jesus. Some of you a little, some of you a lot. But during this year in particular, my prayer is that every one of us will get to see him a little more clearly, that we will get to know him more nearly, and most important of all, that we will all come to love him more dearly. You see, our study must not be simply a matter of amassing knowledge, more facts and figures about Jesus. That's all well and good, because the more we know, as I was sharing when the children were still in, the more we know about Jesus, the more we can model our lives on him. But it's not just the knowing. He calls us to a relationship with himself. If there's one thing you can be sure about in the whole of the life of this universe, it is this truth that Jesus loves you. And all the while he is calling, will you love me? All the while he is calling you deeper into a relationship with him. And so there is our year. If at the end of it, it might be said that we have come to know Jesus more and to love him more dearly, then we will have succeeded. One of the very first people that Jesus met was a man called Philip. And immediately after Philip had met Jesus, he felt compelled to tell someone else. So often that was what happened to those who first met Jesus. So Philip found his friend Nathanael. Now Nathanael was in the beginning a little skeptical, as many in our world are today. So Philip simply said this to him, come and see. As if to say, come and see for yourself. I think what Philip is saying is, look, don't take my word for it. I have met this man. But don't take my word for it. You come and see for yourself. And just as Nathanael became the first person to be invited to come and see, so we all take our place. We all have that invitation extended to us this morning and in our lives as we go through this year. Come and see. And maybe this year, as you see more, you'll find your life being transformed along the way. Because that is always what happens when people meet Jesus. Later in our service, we're going to sing another of Graham Kendrick's wonderful modern anthems, Meekness and Majesty. I think when he wrote that, these words, he was pointing to the mind-blowing claim of the Christian faith. The mind-blowing claim that Jesus was thoroughly human, that Jesus was one of us, and yet at the same time, that he was God, that he was thoroughly different to us. Meekness and majesty. manhood and deity. And all of this we will need to grasp as part of our year. That he was born as a baby. That he walked and talked as we do. That he got tired and hungry and thirsty as we do. That he laughed and cried as we do. In all that we say and do this year, let us remember he was as we are in every way. And yet, at the same time, he was infinitely more than we are or will ever be in this life. And in his gospel, John wants us to make us aware of that right from the outset. Right from the very beginning. And he does so by referring to Jesus as the Word. The Word. Now, I want to unpack that a little this morning. I think it's a Bible passage we read often enough and always in this church on Christmas Eve. But perhaps we don't take the time to ask ourselves just what is meant. When John refers to Jesus as the Word, for us, words are very easily spoken. Words are often used very cheaply and all too often in a throwaway sense. Then again, it's not difficult for us because in the English language, there are over a million words to choose from, according to the most recent count. Did you know they add approximately 14 words every day to our language, the English language? So there's a million words for you to use when you get up in the morning. But for the ancient Jew, it was very different. The Hebrew language has less than 10,000 words. So I think even by that fact, it is clear that words meant much more in their culture than they do in ours. Words were used with much more precision. Words were used much more carefully and more sparingly. And beyond that, in a way that I think is very difficult for us to grasp, for them, for the culture into which John was writing, words were much more powerful than we imagine them to be. For us, often as not, they are no more than sounds used to communicate one thought or another. But for the Hebrew, a word was packed with power and meaning, and once said, once spoken, it took on a life of its own. Let me offer you an example of what I mean by this. Many of you will know the Old Testament story we find in Genesis of Isaac. He had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And as Esau was his eldest son, as Isaac came near the end of his lifespan, the time came for him to give his blessing to his eldest son Esau. But I'm sure many of you remember the story. Jacob, his younger son, was devious and so tricked his father into giving him the blessing instead. Now, a little later, Esau comes to his father, asks for his blessing, only to be told that I already gave my blessing I thought it was you. I gave it to your younger brother. Now, folks, I think what my logic says is that there was no problem. You would just have turned it around. You would just have said, oh, it was a mistake. I'll give you my blessing now. And Jacob, well, he's in trouble for what he did. We would just have reversed the situation in one way or another. But words once spoken were charged with meaning and impact in that culture. And so Isaac, the father, is left with nothing else to do but to say, I'm sorry, Jacob, your younger brother, he came. I blessed him. And he will stay blessed. The blessing is his now. The word has been spoken. It cannot be undone. It cannot be taken back. Now, folks, I offer you that just as an example of how in the Hebrew mind, the word was of infinite power. Once spoken, the word is out there. They already, of course, had the sense, therefore, of the word. And here we have more ways in which his audience would have understood the importance of his phrase, the word. Look at this from the Psalms. By the word of the Lord, the heavens and earth were made. And then in the prophets, the word that goes out from my mouth will accomplish what I desire and will not return to me empty. So, when John starts his gospel by saying, in the beginning the word was with God, the word was God, he has their attention. They knew that in talking about the word of God, he was speaking about something infinitely important. And these allusions from their own scriptures would have played in their minds. As John says to them, the word of God, they would have been thinking about verses such as this one. That the whole of the creation, heavens and earth, were brought into being by the power of the word of God. And then from that second verse, that God's purpose and will for creation are effected through the word which he sends out. So, I repeat, John's first audience, they had a grasp of what he was meaning when he said and spoke of Jesus as the word of God. He was saying to them, Jesus is the Word, who was there in the beginning, through whom all things were made, and through whom light was brought into the world. And friends, if we are to know Jesus, then we need to know from the very beginning that he was in the beginning with God. That he is the power of God in the universe. That he is infinite and eternal and above and beyond. That he is majestic and almighty. And if we are to know Jesus, then we need to know that he is God. Higher than high. But if we are to know Jesus, then from the very beginning, we will need to know that he was one of us too. That he took on flesh and blood and became a person. that he was born at Bethlehem, that he was a carpenter at Nazareth, a teacher at Galilee. And most of all, if we are to know Jesus, we will need to know that the one who is the same as Almighty God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, is the one who submitted to the nails of the cross of Calvary. And this will be ever before us in this year. If we are to know Jesus, then we need to remember that the one who flung stars into space in the beginning is the same one who chose the nails and died for you. This is Jesus, meekness and majesty, manhood and deity. This is Jesus.